But we came hungry and were turned away.
We believe, and still we thirst for justice.
The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'"
They came and said to us, "If you truly believed in the Son of God, he would answer prayer and change you, so that you would not fall in love with people of the same sex."
And we answered, "Is it not written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test?'"
"Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets."
"We asked for bread, and they gave us stones."
"We asked for a place at the table, and they said, 'Not until you change.'"
"We knocked and knocked, and the door was opened just wide enough for us to see the beauty and joy that lay inside, only to be told, 'You are not welcome here.'"
Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly.
We have been begging for crumbs on our knees, under the table, for our whole lives.
We cry out for healing, for welcome, for inclusion, and they say, "Send them away. These people who keep shouting at us are not a part of our family."
Even the ones who speak for Jesus say we are no better than dogs.
As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000.
"We came hungry, and they said, 'We can't possibly feed everyone.'"
But still, Jesus instructs the church, "You give them something to eat."
And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is your friend, at least because of your persistence, he will get up and give you whatever he needs."
"We ask for bread, and they gave us stones."
"We knocked, and the door slammed shut in our face."
"We cry out to God, and God responds, 'I knit you together in your mother's womb.'"
"We cling to the promises of Jesus, And when we need to, we go to a different house for a neighbor less stubborn, less deaf to our cries.
We asked for bread, and they gave us stones.
If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea.
The stones they gave us are hard and heavy.
We cannot eat them. They don't satisfy our hunger.
We curse the stones we cannot eat.
On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
We came to the feast in our best garments, bringing our gifts.
We came with gifts for preaching, for teaching, for music, for counseling.
We came with loving relationships, the desire to nurture children, the fruits of the Spirit.
We saw them pouring the wine, filling the cup of the covenant, celebrating new life.
But when we came forward to drink, there is no wine for us.
"No," they told us, "you are not worthy of wine. You may come to the table, but we cannot let you drink what the others drink, and we cannot let you offer the bread and cup to others."
They said, "Sure, you can participate, but don't expect us to be happy about it. Don't expect us to say you're the same as everyone else, that your lifestyle is okay with us or with God."
They said, "Your gifts are tainted. You are mistaken about who God wants you to be."
They told us, "The cup of the covenant, the wine of God's blessing and sacred promises, is not for you."
"Here," they said, "have some water instead."
"The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread."
"But we are not one body. We asked for bread, and they gave us stones. We reached out for the cup of blessing, and we were told we are not worthy."
"For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together."
"What shall we do with these stones they've given us? They are hard and heavy, and we cannot eat them. Shall we throw them away or gather them together?"
As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
"We cried out for justice, and they told us to be quiet. We asked for a place at the table, and they told us to go away. We knocked, and the door was slammed in our faces."
But if we are silent, the stones will shout out.
Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.
We too have been rejected.
Will we ever find a place at the table, in the center of things?
We carry the stones that we cannot eat. We stumble and fall over the obstacles in our path.
But still we keep walking. Still we keep knocking. Still we keep searching and shouting and praying.
When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood. Carry them over with you and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.' Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever.'
We will carry our stones and gather them together. We will pile them up as a memorial to our God, just as Moses and Joshua and Samuel all did. We will keep piling them up until they cannot be ignored.
And when our children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' we shall reply, 'The waters of justice were cut off in front of us. We asked for bread, and these are the stones they gave us. We were within sight of the promised land, and this is the barrier we could not cross. But God has promised us we will not hunger forever.'
Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward."
The cup we have been given is not the cup of the covenant. We are still waiting to join in the fullness of the feast and the celebration. But this cup of water, this untransformed wine, still will quench our thirst for now.
And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him.
This water is not wine, but it is the water by which we have been baptized. And like Jesus, we have known the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, claiming us as beloved, as blessed, as holy.
By the waters of our baptism, we proclaim we belong.
By the waters of our baptism, we know God's grace is for us also.
By the waters of our baptism, we have been marked by the Holy Spirit and claimed as Christ's own forever.
But Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life."
We asked for bread, and they gave us stones.
We reached for the cup of blessing. They gave us water instead of wine.
But this cup that they have given us is more powerful than they realize.
For Jesus has promised us living water, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
And though we will keep asking, searching, knocking, until we too can lift up the cup of the covenant, still this is water that truly satisfies.
When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb.
The stones they give us are hard and heavy. We cannot eat them. They don't satisfy. We stumble over them, and they weigh us down. They seal us in the cold and dark of the tomb. Who will roll away these stones?
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back.
"We do not know who will roll away the stones. We only know that a stone could not keep Christ in the tomb, and it will not keep us quiet either. Death has no hold on us. We will live, and we will live abundantly. The stone has been, is being, and will be rolled away. Hallelujah. Amen."
Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
"We asked for bread, and they gave us stones.
We came hungry and were turned away.
So we traveled the road in sadness a while.
And it was on the road, in the street, in the park, in the community center, in the pride parade, in the bar, that we met Jesus.
And he told us a story about how God has been at work in the world since the beginning of time, not primarily through the rich and powerful, but through the outcast and oppressed, through the slave and the foreigner, through women and children and tax collectors and sinners, and even through people like us.
And we did not even know it was Jesus until he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to us.
And we held it, soft and broken, in our hands. And we lifted it to our mouths, and we ate.
And it was not a stone.
And we wept with joy.
And then we knew we had to tell our story to those locked up, closeted, skeptical disciples, hiding and waiting in fear and desperation to hear the good news that God is doing something new.
Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Can anyone withhold the bread of life and the cup of blessing?
Can anyone keep Jesus locked inside that tomb?
Who among you, if your child asked for bread, would give them a stone?
How long will we pretend that there is not enough bread to go around, not enough love, not enough grace?
How long will we have to pile up the stones?
How long will we let the stones cry out in our place?
How long will our neighbors have to keep knocking before we fulfill our duty of love to give them bread?
How long will we turn the celebratory wine back into water?
How long will we close our eyes, our minds, our hearts to those whom Jesus loves?
What will we tell our children when they ask us, "Why are there so many stones piled up?"
Let us live so we can tell them,
"We heard our neighbors knocking, and we opened the door.
We heard their cries of hunger and thirst, and we welcomed them to the table.
We found we had more than enough bread to go around.
We celebrated the mystery of God's blessing together.
We who had lost all hope, ran to tell our fearful friends the good news.
The stone was rolled away.
The tomb could not contain the transforming power of God's love.
And we have met the risen Christ on the journey.
Amen.